We continue our study in this book of Matthew, considering the doctrine, the teachings being taught by the Lord Himself. As David Edmondson points out from 2 John, it's called the doctrine of Christ. If you have not heard his message from last Sunday, I highly recommend sermon audio and look under David Edmondson, Doctrine of Christ. It was an excellent message. There's only one teaching. There's only one teaching, and it's the same message that our Lord taught those two men on the road to Emmaus. It's the teaching of Christ and Him crucified. Last week we looked at the first 12 verses of chapter 23, and in these verses our great Creator warns us once again that we should beware of our own actions when the things that we do are even similar to the flesh, to the false religionists and what they do. In other words, seeking the praise of men. Careful. You know, I've shared with this many times with you over the years here on how that's one of my greatest fears of my flesh. That's one of the things that the Lord has laid heavily upon me to be watchful for. John, is what you're doing for the praise of men, or is it for the glory of our Savior? I know how easy it is to stand and be thought of as, oh, thank you, John. I've seen our own pastor, Gene Harmon, put on a pedestal by brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray the Lord does not allow that with me. I pray that men and women see me as themselves, a sinner saved by grace, and that alone. We need to beware of our own actions, such as seeking the praise of men or seeking the most respected positions at the tables or standing out in public places, requiring those to serve you rather than being a servant. Look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 3 once again, if you would. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Who's the greatest among us? Amen. Speak it up, sister. Christ. It's Christ. Amen. And it amazes me. It amazes me that my Lord came to serve me, a sinner. I don't care how many times I tell you this, this just overwhelms me. That God would consider me a worm. That God would look down on something that shook his fist at him for all those years and said, I will not have this one to rule over me. And yet he arrested that heart, cut it out, got rid of it, and put a heart in there that loves him. And he did it all because he first loved me. Our Lord served us by giving his own life for us. Does it not amaze you to think about this Creator of all things becoming flesh and then dying for us? Just it amazes me. And I tell you this, if servitude was good enough for the Lord of all it is, the Creator, the God-man, then it's good enough for me. Today we turn to verses 13 through 33, and if you would, read along with me. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by the heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto the white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Our Lord thought it profitable to stand in the midst of the temple and declare these very things to those who thought their righteousness was what was going to get them into heaven. Folks, we're not talking about a people who were complete deceivers. They were deceivers, yes, but they were deceivers to themselves. They truly thought that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They followed all the ordinances according to what they were supposed to be doing. They thought that that's what they were supposed to be doing, and that what they were doing was for the sake of God. You know, Paul thought the very same thing. He was out persecuting Jesus Christ, and he thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But it takes the Lord, it takes the power of God to come into the blind man and give him sight of the truth. The truth that the only righteousness that anyone will ever find is the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Standing in the midst of the temple, after addressing his own disciples and the multitude around him, while he had the ear of the people, our Lord Jesus Christ turned to the scribes and the Pharisees and in the most public manner denounced them, condemned them as religious leaders. Our Lord was bold in calling out false religion. How can we not also do the same? You know how many people regard this little church here in Rescue as nothing because of the condemnation that we say and we speak of towards free will doctrine. In the 20 years that I've attended this services here, I've never heard, I've heard at every message something to say against free will religion, because that's what it is of our day. That's what we see growing in the religious world around us in this day. The religion of men. The religion that takes what man has done and puts it above what God has done. That's what free willism is. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "Why such sternness? Why did our Lord speak so sternly about to these men? Why such a public condemnation? Why such scathing language? Could he not have said the same thing in a more polite, more civil, more acceptable tone?" Well, of course he could have done so. But it was not his intention to be polite, civil, or acceptable. It was our Lord's intention to be heard. Now remember, these are the words of the one man, the one preacher, whose love and goodness cannot be called into question. Why did our Lord choose to use such scathing language to denounce and condemn these men and the religion that they had taught? It's because the glory of God, the truth of God, and the souls of men were at stake. The solemn truth to be learned from this passage is quite clear. The doctrines, the religion, the spirit, and the practices of the scribes and the Pharisees are abominable in the sight of God. The religion of the world is contemptible to God, and it should be to us also. End of quote. Folks, our Lord did not speak in secret. He was plain and open in all that he did. He didn't go and heal the sick in the hiding of a room, did he? No, he did it right out in the open where everybody could see him. But yet those who saw him could not see him. I can't remember. Was it last Sunday? Might have been last Sunday's Bible study. I read a quote about how, if you ever heard somebody say, I want the people around me to see Jesus in me. That needs to be repeated at every message also. Even when Christ Jesus stood on this earth and did all that he did in such wondrous ways, men and women walked away from it, and all they wanted to do was kill him. They didn't see Jesus in Jesus. How can we expect anyone to see Jesus in us unless Christ reveals him in us? Our Lord did not speak in secret. Our Lord did not call the scribes and Pharisees aside for a private conversation. Rather, he went into the temple where they regularly taught the people, where they were most highly respected. And there, he publicly condemned them and their religion in the most contemptible terms that you could imagine. 8 times in those verses, our Lord said these words, "Woe unto you." 7 times, he calls them hypocrites. 2x, he calls them blind fools. And in the end, what did he say? What did he say? He said, "Serpents, ye serpents, and a generation of vipers." Now, don't get me wrong. We don't go into other churches. We don't go into the other worship buildings and start pointing our fingers and yelling at people. No. No. God tells us to live peaceably with the men and women around us. But it does mean that we don't go into those churches and pretend that we're with them worshiping that under that false religion. And when people come into our house, when people come into this house that God has given us, we speak boldly against false religion. We speak boldly against the works of men. We speak boldly against the will of men. Dead men don't have wills. Dead men's wills will do nothing but lay there and be dead. It takes our Lord and Savior to give us life. And that's a message that we need to declare very plainly from this pulpit and from this place our Lord has given us. Our Lord says in John 4, verse 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Our Lord speaks strongly against these self-righteous hypocrites because they mislead the people. And they're doing it in today's world just as they did then. Thousands of people are going to buildings similar to this one, very one. Some of them very, very magnificent. And all they're hearing is a bunch of garbage about how men can make themselves better. If you'll just do this, or if you'll just do that. But aren't you thankful that there are a few buildings around this world where our Lord has men who stand and say, "God has done it all. Sin has left a crimson stain, but He has washed it white as snow." How did these religious serpents manifest their serpent-like hatred for the Son of God? What did they do to bring upon themselves such tremendous words from our Lord? They were not immoral in their own outward behavior. They could not be charged with any open vices. In fact, they prided themselves in being very moral people. They did not neglect the ordinances of divine worship, and neither in public or in private. They prayed 3 times a day. They fasted 2x a week. They paid the tithes of everything that they obtained, and they went to church every time the doors were open. So what was it then that brought upon these men the Lord's most severe words of condemnation? It's the same thing that troubles you and I. It's pride. It was their proud self-righteousness. Look at what I have done. Look at all that I am doing. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. See my self-righteousness? See my righteousness? Their legal righteousness that caused them to despise the righteousness of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus. "I have done all that You say I'm supposed to do." They're looking at their own righteousness that they think they have earned, rather than seeing the only true righteousness, and that's the righteousness of our Savior. He who knew no sin. He who walked this earth perfectly in everything that He did. They were following after the righteousness of the law. They were going about to establish their own righteousness. Such men show both their ignorance of God's righteousness and their determination never to submit themselves to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Romans 10:4, we read this: "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." These men were teaching others to do the same. Those who teach you must be baptized in order to be saved, I ask you this: was the man on the cross, the thief on the cross, was he baptized? They were teaching others to do the same things. They were shutting up the kingdom of heaven against men. They would go out to all ends of the earth to proselyte a man, and then they would put that man under the yoke of bondage, the yoke of the law. Folks, we are free from the law, free in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we're free to go out and commit the sins. No. If you go out and willingly commit to sin, you're standing against God. And I'm telling you, the Lord, good chance he'll chasten you for it. Look what he did to David. They put him under the yoke of the law. They labored to undermine the necessity of salvation by Christ in setting up and teaching others to do the same thing, to establish a righteousness of their own, and thus denying the fall of man and the necessity and recovery by grace and grace alone. Nothing is so completely opposed to the gospel of grace of God than the righteousness of men. Nothing is so opposed to the cross of Christ than the righteousness of men. Nothing so despises the blood and the righteousness of Christ than the righteousness and the pride of men. When people go out and teach and preach and lead of any age and are engulfed in the darkness and the delusion of self-righteous free will works religion, how great is the darkness of that generation? I tell you here, God hates hypocrisy and the show of religion. So let us ever pray as David did. In Psalms 119:80, he says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Let us be found in Christ, not having any righteousness of our own, but only that which was accomplished by the faithfulness of Christ our surety. Where we read in Philippians 3:9, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Turn over to 2 Timothy, if you would, for just a moment, and we'll finish this up. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. And read along with me on verses 1 through 7. "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's what self-religious, righteous self-will is. That's what it is to exercise your free will, your so-called free will. It's to say that your will is above God's. "They shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Our Lord says, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that he is? If you know him as the Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God, it's not because of anything that you have done. It's not because of anything that you can do. And it's not because of anything that you will do, but it's because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Father, blessed are you, for God the Father hath revealed this unto you. God the Father hath revealed this unto us. Where does all the glory go when you know that? It goes to him. And him alone. Amen.